Free FM.
Here you can be free.
Penn Jillette.
Yeah, this is Penn Jillette, Las Vegas, Nevada. Just the final week before the second day of Patriotic Day of Monkeys, which will be coming up July 4th. But we're here, 866-570-PEN-7366, penradio@gmail.com, penradio.com. You know, I get up a couple hours before the show and I read all the papers and all the blogs looking for something to talk about, something that might be interesting. And today, there's the Gitmo thing with the Supreme Court, you know, really bitch-slapped Bush on this military trials for people. Really, just slapped the hell out of him. I mean, poor guy can't get a break. Everybody talks about...
poor guy can't get a break.
He can't! Everybody says he's getting away with everything. He can't get above a 40% approval rating. Supreme Court, I mean, not that I agree with him on anything, but I mean, things have been going badly for Bush. Maybe because the stuff he's doing is wrong.
Yeah, things are going badly would be a funny way to say that.
I guess so.
It's just been a bad run of luck.
Maybe
I've taken away all these rights of people and things have gone ugly. I don't know what's wrong.
Yeah, you're right.
What's wrong with people?
What I should have done, this is the hard thing to remember, is rather than just try to defend my stupid comment, I should just say that was a stupid comment.
Yeah, that's a better idea.
Guy can't get a break. That should never have been said. But what we decide to talk about today, because... if you know, and it's embarrassing now that I said the Bush thing. But I want to talk about something else. You know, there's this Supreme Court bitch slaps our president, and I want to talk about Star Jones. That's the horrible secret of this show.
It's revenge, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't give a good goddamn about Star Jones or her being fired. I've been on The View a lot of times. The producers there are just delightful. I like being with them. But I've had some hard times on The View. I've had a string of bad luck on The View. Last couple times, because of my daughter, things have gone fine. If you can bring out the maternal in them, things go wonderfully. But before I had the maternal to bring out in them, things... You know, I had a lot of trouble with Bonnie Hunt, but she's not on there regularly. And I don't know what Rosie
Maybe
O'Donnell...
Maybe they'll bring her into Star Jones, Bonnie Hunt full time.
I don't know about Rosie O'Donnell. You know, I don't know if she likes us because of some of the causes we've taken up are contrary to her own. You know, she wouldn't let Bernadette Peters sing Annie Get Your Gun on her show because she's so anti-gun. And, you know, we use them in our show and shoot them, and I'm very Second Amendment guy. But we did give her... For, like, no money, we gave her Rosie.com. We had Rosie.com. I forgot why, but we had Rosie.com. And, like, 10 years ago, we sold it to her for, like, a buck or something, you know. And she should be very grateful. So when Rosie's on, I don't know how it's going to go. But I think the next time we're on the show, we'll have either Moxie or Zoltan do a gag. They'll do a trick with us. So that should bring out some maternal. But anyway, she was fired. She was fired in a really goofy way. Because she made, and not everybody's
quit.
Heard
she
this.
She quit. She wasn't fired. She quit.
Exactly. And that's what I want to talk about. I want people to call up and tell me good firing stories. 866-570-PEN-7366. And since, you know, I'm part of a corporation now, I'm one of the owners of a corporation, I would love to hear sides from the person who's firing. I would like to hear people like me who are part of the pig power structure who had to fire somebody. We've fired a few people in our day, and it's horrible. It's the worst thing in the world. That's the reason for not hiring friends, you know. But you can't get around anyway because you become friends with people, you know, and you fire them. But I also want to hear people who got fired and that whole thing of quit fired happening right away. 866-570-PEN-7366. PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. I imagine people will have good being fired stories and firing stories. And I think there should be a lot of emotion that we can laugh at. 866-570-PEN-7366. Star Jones, you see, went on the air and said, and I know you've all heard this too many times, and it's really boring, but still, it's killing me. She went on and said, something has been on my heart for a little bit, and after much prayer and counsel, I feel like this is the right time to tell you that the show is moving in another direction for its 10th season, and I will not be returning as co-host next year. A lot of prayer. A lot of prayer. And the fact they said you're out in your ass. and she's known this for a way, way, way long time. You know,
that's
that's
the next thing that's underlined in the article there, was that she knew for months.
Yeah, for months.
That they were
months,
not
going to. But prayer and counsel contact. Told her that yesterday was the day. So I just want to hear from anybody that's been fired and how they've been fired, or anybody that has fired and how they fired.
I got fired once.
How'd you get fired?
I fired from an improv troupe.
No, for having a script?
Yeah, exactly. I was reading those.
You had like little crib notes in your hand.
Piece of Atlas Shrugged.
Well, you're there going, you know, and then they throw it to Mike Godot and he goes, to be or not to be? Wait a minute, you're not improvising that? What were you fired for?
We were auditioning new people, and they did a structure, I don't know what they call them, game, on the circus.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't do a lot of improv in this particular piece. And they said, well, you know, why didn't you get up and do more improv during that piece? And I said, I thought we were auditioning new people. I didn't think it was about whether I did a good job on this or not. And they said, you're fired.
Really?
Yeah.
That's all it was?
That's all it was.
I think I was trying to think after this if I had been fired and how.
It was a $200 a week job.
Yes, you didn't care at all?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I think I was fired. I wrote a column for PC Computing magazine. Mm-hmm. I wrote it for like 5 years, and people liked it. It was the back page, and I loved doing it. And then this new editor came in, and he said that he wanted to talk to me about the column. And I said, fine, but I'm working really hard at MIT. We're doing this new performance thing, and da-da-da-da, and I'm really overworked, and I can't talk to you. And he said, well, I'm going to be at the MIT thing. We can talk then. And I said, no, do not talk to me. And I was talking to Lou Reed and Quincy Jones. And this little nebbishy guy comes up and says, we have to talk about your column in the magazine. And I took him aside, away from Lou and Quincy, and I told him a thing or two or three or four. And during that, you know, there's that wonderful moment where you can't even tell, what it's like the speed of light, whether I quit or get fired. It was just instantaneous. We both knew it was coming and were trying to rush in. You can't quit me, I'm fired! You know, that kind of stuff. And
After
months of prayer and consultation, I was done with PC Magazine. I can't think of other times I was fired. I was fired picking cucumbers when I was 16 for they told me I was taking too many breaks. And so I was supposed to just stay in the field. And the guy who owned it, his daughter, passed out from heat exhaustion in the field. And I stepped over her, kept working without alerting anyone. So I was fired for that, too. I was fired for following.
Okay, that makes sense.
But let's get
fired.
I'm sure we'll have some great great fired stories. 866-570-PEN. That's 7366. Oh, let's talk to Mike. How you doing,
sure.
Mike?
I'm doing great, man. How you guys doing?
Never better, boss. Never better.
All right. Last week on Thursday, my best friend, who's my manager in one of my businesses, he calls me up and he says, I'm in with my lawyer and I'm not going to be able to make it until late today. No problem. I don't hear from him the entire day. I don't hear from him. I'm sending him text messages. I'm calling him. He just doesn't show up.
Uh-huh.
At 4 a.m, his girlfriend calls my girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
Okay, to tell her what an amazing time the two of them had hanging out all night. Okay, because she's leaving for a trip in the morning.
Uh-huh.
So Thursday, the next day rolls around, and he says, I'm not coming to work again today because of all these legal issues he says he has. He's got to take care of all the stuff with his lawyers and all the lawsuits he has. So he calls me on Friday and asks me what time he should be in the work. And I'm like, you're not coming to work today.
Uh-huh.
So he's like, I'm like, well, you're suspended. We'll deal with it on Monday. On Monday, he comes to me and says that he got a new job on Thursday and that he's not going to be working for me anymore. He wants 2 weeks. He's giving me his 2 weeks notice.
Uh-huh.
I said, you're fired. And not only that, I'm docking you for your last week's pay. So not only did he not get his 2 weeks, I docked him a week's pay for the 2 days that he took off.
And are you still, is his girlfriend still good friends with your girlfriend?
Yeah, I introduced the two of them. I'm going to see this guy all the time. And all he could say was, I still want to hang out. I hope this doesn't, you know, affect our friendship.
Is it going to?
Absolutely. Every time.
I think every time in my life someone has said to me, I hope this doesn't affect our friendship, what they're really saying is, oh, Jesus, this is really going to affect our friendship. So I'm behind you 100% in affecting your friendship. Maybe you can get his girlfriend to leave him.
Maybe I can get his girlfriend to leave.
this has turned ugly.
Very good idea. I'm supporting this 100%. Thanks so much for calling, Mike. I think that I don't know if that call was a great call, but I felt we did good. I felt it was therapeutic.
It was really, yeah, we all feel better about that,
don't
we?
We all feel a lot better about that.
I think if I called into you and said, you know, I want to stay home today. You know, my wife and I, things are going, you know, pretty well today.
Yeah.
I might not come in for a couple of days. I think you'd give me the days off, wouldn't you? I mean, as your friend.
That's my friend. I don't know. Why don't you find out?
Okay.
Let's talk to Carl. What's up, Carl?
Never better, boss. How are you?
Oh, you. I'm doing okay, Carl.
Sorry about that. I wasn't sure if that would piss you off. I called in well. One day, I was young. I was about 21 years old, and I woke up out of bed, and I just couldn't bear to go to work that day.
What kind of job do you have?
I was a manager of a coffee shop downtown Manhattan, and I called my boss, and I pretty much told him I have been sick ever since the day I started working for you, but now I feel great, so I won't be coming in.
Did you continue to feel good about it?
Oh, I felt great. Oh, my God. I never looked back, brother. Take care.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Well, that was a good call.
Not only did he steal what I always say, never better, boss, he also made the decision on when to hang up.
He cut you off.
As every talk show, we're the only talk show that's ever existed where people hang up on us. You know, we try so hard to be polite. That's all I had to say. I'm going to go, boom, out of it, gone. What else we got here? Let's talk to Matt.
All right.
How you doing, Matt?
How you doing, Ben? Love the show, buddy.
Thanks so much, man. What's up?
Hey, actually, I work at an auto shop right now. We'll remain nameless, but I was an assistant manager at the time, and I had to fire a guy. He always slacked off, and I couldn't think of anything good to say to him, so I just walked up to him and patted him on his back and said, I hear you don't work here anymore. And he goes, what? What'd you say? And I said, that's just what I heard. I just heard you don't work here anymore. And he basically packed up his stuff 5 minutes later and walked out.
I think that is the textbook definition of passive aggressive, isn't it?
Yeah, boy.
Isn't that the perfect thing? I heard you don't work here. Hey, Kudo. No, never mind. Thanks a lot. Here.
That was nice.
let's see what Michael has to say. This is a fun thing to talk about. It's real. I guess when other people are suffering, it's always terrific. That's terrific to hear about. How you doing, Michael?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I'm doing great.
Good.
All right. 3 weeks ago, I got fired.
Uh-huh.
And I was so happy to get fired because, you know, I didn't have to worry about trying to collect unemployment anymore. It was basically giving it to me. So I had a company car. I worked for a design company, company job, company gas card, company phone. And one day I took like a 40-minute little detour and decided to go on a couple job interviews down in Rockland County.
Uh-huh.
And, my boss borrowed my GPS that night and noticed that his largest competitor in New York State was the first entry for that day. And he called me into his office the next day and laid me off.
Wow, that's a terrific.
Oh, man.
That's a really modern firing.
Yeah, and it's great because I actually got the job. So
good news.
And is it a better job? Have you started yet?
Oh, it's great. Much better.
Oh, good. Good.
Next time you'll turn off that GPS, right?
Yeah. Well, I needed it, though.
Yeah, well, that's the easy way to do it. Well, thanks
you
so much.
You can erase it at the end of the day, man. Give his GPS back to his boss.
Well, I think that he was clearly looking for a way to get fired.
For a new job.
Yeah.
I'd have fired him.
No. If he's looking for a new job, you don't fire him.
Because
then he quits and you get saved all that employer stuff. Yeah, you don't know anything about being a boss.
I don't
Mr.
know anything
Kudo.
About being a boss.
Nothing.
No, I'm always the second monkey.
you're always trying to get people to quit. That's the cool thing, you know? You try to get, I mean, I haven't said this aloud, but you try to, like Patrick, for instance, you know? We just keep harassing him and maybe he'll quit.
He stays.
Let's go with Anthony.
You want to talk to Anthony? Sure.
Yeah. How you doing, Anthony?
What's up, Ben? How are you?
Never better, boss.
What's Anthony knows how things are supposed to work.
Exactly.
You should hire Anthony.
I worked in a restaurant a couple months ago, and I was a bartender. And basically, new management came in. I didn't really get along with them. It was this, like, 25-year-old lady, and I'm 24.
Uh-huh.
So one day I come in, and basically she's giving me an attitude. So I'm at the end of the shift, I'm cashing out my drawer and everything, and I'm basically just kind of getting to the point where I'm just like, you know what, I just don't really like this job anymore. I think I'm going to quit. So she keeps hassling me and whatnot. Finally, she's like, you know, I really don't like your attitude. She's like, I think I'm going to have to let you go, blah, blah, blah. I was like, all right, fine, no problem. I was like, I was going to quit anyways. So I walk out to the bar, and I'm basically telling one of the other bartenders, I'm like, yeah, you know, this lady just fired me, whatever, blah, blah. She comes out. She has the audacity to come out in the middle of the bar, and she says, yeah, I'm going to need your tie right now. This is a corporate restaurant. I'm like, all right, lady, no problem. I take my tie off. I hand it to her. She puts her hand out. I drop the tie on the floor, and she's like, I'm going to need your name tag, too. I was like, oh, no, not my name tag. take my name tag off, hand it to her, drop it on the floor. She gets back up, and basically I was like, oh, I got something else for you. And I reach in my pocket, give her the bird right there in front of the whole
there
bar.
There you go. There you go. Now, that is the way firing is supposed to go. That was perfectly done. You both played your roles wonderfully.
Yes, yes, I did. But needless to say, I don't have a bartending job no more. So,
Have you found another job?
Yep.
Well,
yes,
good.
I did.
So you're covered. Is it better than the bartender job?
Yeah. It's a lot better, actually. I'm finding myself now.
Good. You're finding yourself without the use of a name tag, which is
there
much
we go,
harder.
Exactly.
Much harder. Thanks a lot for calling, man.
You know, that's like that TV show, remember Branded?
Yeah, marked as the one who ran. Yeah, and they rip off his stripes.
Yeah, they break the sword over their knee. I can't even imagine. How do you break a sword over your knee?
I think you want to make sure you get it on the broadside.
Okay, yeah.
Otherwise, you just cut off your leg. What are you holding up there? Okay, let's talk to
David.
David, yeah.
Sure.
How you doing, David?
Pretty good. Yourself?
Never better, boss.
All right, I used to work for a biotech company that had a big main building and a small building
with a lab.
Wait a minute.
This is my friend, David.
Yes.
Okay,
but I have
good.
I have a good firing story.
Okay, good.
So there was a main building and the small building where I worked, which was also the monkey lab. That's a different story.
Oh, monkey lab! See, that's why he's a friend of mine.
So I come into work, and I notice that the vice president of the company is sitting in the empty conference room, and I've never even seen the guy in this building before.
Uh-huh.
I get to my desk, and the telephone rings. It's my friend from the main building. He says, the company notice board has been cleared with just one sign left on it. This is what the sign says. All remaining employees as of 3 p.m. will meet in the main conference room. And then he said, dude, I think you're getting fired. I said, that would explain why the vice president's here. And sure enough, within the hour, we had all been given the boot.
Wow.
Fired by a sign.
That's a little bit like all those that have a mother take one step forward. Not so fast, Davis.
Exactly.
Right? Exactly that. All remaining employees come to the, well, that's great. That's great. Fired by a sign. We got a sign, a GPS. This is a great thing. Thanks, David. Thank you. We're going to go to a break now. 866-570-PEN 7366. We're on the free FM, the free FM. PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. This is Penn Jillette. Hey, Jonesy, you're fired. 866-570-PEN. 7366.
He's not even awake yet.
I know. He'll never know. PennRadio@gmail.com. PennRadio.com. I want to bring this up. We got a ton of calls about being fired. I want to get to all those. But there is a funny, funny thing going on. There's a class action suit. It'll go nowhere. I mean, it really will go nowhere. And it shouldn't be even brought up. But it makes me laugh so much I want to talk about it. Because I haven't seen it in a lot of the news. There's a class action suit against Barbara Streisand for coming out of retirement. There are people that paid, like, what, $5,000 for tickets to her show because it was the last show she was ever going to do. And now
her
she's coming out of retirement.
Tour, yes.
Her farewell tour. I mean, everybody's done there. David Bowie,
the
Frank
Who.
Sinatra. The Who retired?
Yeah, they said they were.
Did they really?
Yes.
Six times Who retired? Yeah. And there's a lot of others, of course.
Cher. Cher's done 100.
Well, yeah, Cher. Cher was doing it hundreds of years ago. She was retiring. And the Stones retired, too, didn't they? Did they do a final show? Yeah. We didn't know that their shows would be more common than dirt. If you haven't seen a Rolling Stone show, you really have to avoid it. There have been times in your life when you've been across the street from a Rolling Stone show. You really have to avoid seeing them if you want to avoid seeing them. But Barbara Streisand is the one. No class action suit against the Eagles. But Barbara Streisand is so annoying that when she comes out of retirement, she gets sued. Go fishing, Barbara. Open a dress shop, Babs. Do something. I'll get a couple great letters on getting fired. This is a great one. I love this one. This is from John. I went to the first Lollapalooza tour years ago in the pre-cell phone days. Is that possible that it was pre-cell phone?
Yeah.
I believe cell phones have been around forever, but I guess they haven't. I went to the first Lollapalooza tour years ago in the pre-cell phone days. A guy was on the payphone in a big crowd, and he yelled out, "Hey, everyone, be quiet. I'm calling in sick." Hey, everyone. Be quiet. We can take the Streisand thing kills me. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that just terrific? Isn't that, I mean,
no
so
one
embarrassing.
Has seen her for 100 years of bad songs.
I know exactly, exactly. Or for her annoying,
her website,
you know,
sure.
Her psycho website. I want to hear about this one. Let's take Dave.
Okay.
Hey, Dave. What's up?
Hey, Ben. How you doing?
Doing very well, thanks.
First of all, compliment you. I saw the show in Vegas. It was excellent, and you guys were really gracious at the end. You took the time to talk to some of the audience. It's very nice.
Well, thanks so much. I enjoyed doing that. Thank you.
Very down to earth. I'm a NYPD officer, and one of the guys I work with, he has a side gig doing construction. The other day, he went to do this lady's house, and he had to use the facilities, ran into the bathroom, and he said, as he glanced down, he said, "Oh, good, baby wipes. I'll be extra clean today." Went to grab a baby wipe, and as he's finishing up, he looks down and says, "See, it's not baby wipes, Clorox bleach wipes."
Wow.
So, as he's noticing, he said he just started screaming. Had to run up, turn on the shower, and use the shower to shower himself off, but didn't have time to get off his work boots or anything.
Oh,
and,
man.
He's soaking wet. She says he opens the door. The lady is right outside the door.
She's what? I'm
looking at him like, "What happened?" And he's sloshing out, water dripping all over the place, and trying to explain to her why he's, why he was screaming. And, "Oh, I had to use your bathroom." And we don't know if he got fired yet, but it doesn't look good.
That is an amazing story. That's an amazing story. Well, thanks. Thanks for calling.
Potentially fired.
Potentially fired. So he jumps into the shower. I mean, of course, he's got Clorox. It hurts a lot. So he jumps into the shower with his work boots on and presumably with his shirt on and everything else, with his pants down around his knees or his ankles, with work boots on, and the woman comes in to see that. It is so rare that there is an image that involves nudity that I can't think of any kink that ties in with. Is there any sort of kink where that's the situation you'd be in? In a shower with your pants around your ankles with work boots and a shirt on. I've never, there's probably some
plumber
one
fantasies.
Site. No, he wasn't in a cop uniform. There's no uniform thing. This is another job he's doing, a construction job. Said clearly construction job. Boy, that's just great. It's not often that you have an image that that involves nudity that has no sexual content whatsoever. I would love someone to call up and say, "Wow, there's nothing hotter than a guy with work boots and his pants around his ankles and a shirt on and Clorox on his ass standing in a shower soaking wet." I'd love someone to call for that. What else we want to do? Let's take Lenny. Let's talk to Lenny.
Hey, Ben. How you doing?
Never been a boss. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. I was working for these performers doing training and building props, and it kept on changing design. By the time it was all said and done, the whole thing took over a month.
Is this us you used to work for?
Actually, it was for you guys.
Yeah, I thought so, yeah. We change designs all the time. You had to be talking about us.
Oh, it drove
any
me
magician.
Nuts. Yeah. But Penn was actually very nice about it. He would make a change. I'd roll my eyes, and he'd tell me, "What are we doing? We're earning a living."
Yeah, that makes it very true. That's one of the expressions we use. And then we fired you.
Yeah, I guess it got to the point where we were both looking at each other and ready to start throwing punches. So.
We are, I like to think, and I, correct me if I'm wrong, I like to think that we're polite, but we're always trying to do things that are really hard and really stupid, and we do it the stupidest, most circuitous way, and it takes us forever. We build things three times. So we're very annoying in that way, but I'm glad to say we were at least polite to you. So.
But you know what? You were polite, and I appreciate the perfection. I also loved your making the sub disappear down in Cayman.
Okay, thanks so much. Thank you so much, Lenny. You know, that's... Isn't it amazing how I just knew it was us that fired him? I could just tell right away. Yeah, I had a feel about that. I want to hear. A lot of Dave's calling in today. I guess Dave's get fired a lot. Let's talk to Dave. There.
Let's talk to one of the Daves.
Hey, you're just maggoty with Daves today.
Yeah, we are. What's up, man?
Lousy with him. Hey, I was working for a guy who was really, really obnoxious, and I'd been doing a job search, and this guy's idea of a annual review was to sit you down and talk about everything but what you'd done in the company.
What do you mean? What do you talk about?
Well, everything except your job. You know, like, how's the wife, how's the kids, yada, yada, yada. Well, I had just gotten a job offer the day before my review, so I started my annual review by handing in my resignation, which is the best thing you can ever do.
Of course, yeah.
He proceeded to go into his standard review mode and started talking about this, that, and the other thing, and took me out to lunch, and is like, I'm like, dude, you don't get it. I'm leaving. He just, you know, it took 3 hours to convince him that I was leaving.
Oh, that's great. That's, well, you know, people, that's one of the things about corporate world and bureaucracy, that there's this momentum that just runs through it that you can't just cut through with a simple thing. It's also like after you've broken up, you know, it's the same thing when you've broken up with a girlfriend or something, and you have broken up, you're gone, never want to see you again, and then there has to be this recap of everything you've done wrong, and you can just go, okay, everything was my fault. Now, please let me get in my car.
Leave me alone. I'm quitting. I don't want to work here.
I'm done. So, yeah, that would be a lesson to all bosses. If someone quits, you're then done. You know,
yeah,
you can't be more gone than quit. So, thanks so much, Dave. Thanks a lot. Let's talk to Pete. Let's just go right down the list here.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
What's up, Pete?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Never better, boss. What's up with you?
Cool. Hey, I was fired once after 3 days.
Okay, what'd you do wrong?
Well, I'm a professional worker. I'm a computer programmer, and I like my room dark, and I like music on.
Sure.
And so the boss kept complaining that the music was too loud, and I turned it down a little bit more. And then Thursday morning, I came in, and he called me in his office, and he handed me 2 weeks' pay and said, I don't think it's going to work out.
After how many days were you working there?
I've been working there. Thursday was my fourth day. I worked there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
And just because the music was too loud, huh?
Yeah, and it was like I could barely hear it.
Well, I'm sure you got another job quickly. Thanks a lot. Thanks
actually,
a lot.
Actually, I got my old job back.
Oh, did you?
I called my boss after I left and said, can I get my old job back? And he said, sure, because he was sad to see me go. And so Monday, I returned to my old job, and I only was out for 1 week, and I got 2 weeks' pay, so I ended up ahead a week.
There you go. Well, thanks. Thank you so much, Pete. Thanks a lot, Pete.
Nice. That's a nice
Let's go to
thing.
Laura.
We
Let's
have to go talk to Laura.
We got to talk to Laura.
Hello.
Hey, Laura, this is Ben. How you doing?
Hi, good. It's funny because I'm sitting there and I'm listening, and I fired that bartender.
You mean the guy that dropped his name tag in his tie?
Yes, I did. And, you know, it's funny because the whole thing started because we wear, you know, white Oxford shirts, and he wouldn't button his button.
Uh-huh.
He didn't want to button his button. I said, listen, honey, there's battles to fight in life, and a button's not the fight you're going to fight.
So your description of the situation is the same as his, right? It's exactly
what
happened.
You know, well, no, because it was actually a long, drawn-out fight we were having, and I told him, I don't kidnap you, put a gun in your head. There's another restaurant up the street. If you want to go work there, go work there if you're not going to follow my rules. So he came back. He's like, you know what, this is my last day. He goes out to the bar, and he's, you know, telling the customers that, you know, call me all these names, all that. So I asked him to leave, you know, and I would need my tie back and my name tag back for him to get his next paycheck. Uh-huh. And then that's when the fingers came out. And there's actually a whole parade around the dining room of middle fingers. And it was one of my most memorable firings.
Did he get to you at all?
No, not really. I mean, you know, you get used to it, especially in this business.
Are you still working the same place?
For the same company, just in a different location.
Uh-huh. And do you like your work?
I love it. I love it.
I just love that you're sitting there. When did you realize he was talking about you?
When I went out there and I could hear him clear, like, no, 20 feet away.
No. No. I mean on the radio.
The second I heard the kid's voice, I knew it was him.
And how long ago was this?
I think it was in early April.
Oh, cool. So it was really recently. Okay. Well, thanks so much for calling. If he calls back, we're going to get a job as doing arbitration on firings. But, you know, I said during his call that what she did was perfectly reasonable, right?
We did, yes.
We've
supported both sides of this fight. That's right.
Absolutely.
If we were
okay there,
we'd have been yelling, hit her. Hit him back. Hit her. Hit him back.
Are you going to take him through the name tag on the floor? I wouldn't if I were you. Hey, stick up for your right to button that shirt. Fight, fight, fight. That's the kind of guys we are here on Free FM. This is Penn Jillette, 866-570-PEN. We're on the Free FM, PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. Yeah, this is Penn Jillette, 866-570-PEN, 7366, PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. You know, we're talking about getting fired. I guess our slim excuse is that it was Star Jones getting her ass fired, but I don't really care about that at all. I like many more of the subjects that are talked about with people calling in. You know, I want to point out that with an hour-long show, and there was one very, very popular radio celebrity that I really was bothered by him always talking about his ratings and where he was doing so. I don't think ratings are interesting to people. Of course, no one agrees with me on this because people write all the time how they're – what's in the news, Robin? And they write all the time about how movies are doing and how they're sold and everything. So I guess people care about it. I never did. And we have an hour-long show. Okay, and it's an hour-long show by someone who has no business being in radio. So we can't really track the ratings. And if we could track the ratings, they probably wouldn't be that great. I have no idea. Maybe they're good, maybe they're not. I know that we have more listeners on iPod than anybody, but I guess that doesn't count. I don't know. Doesn't matter. I don't want to be the same. I don't want to be the what's in the news? I don't want to talk about my ratings on the air. So, but I will say, how can you do better than having someone call in with a firing story, and then another person call in and say they were the ones that fired that person? Not only do you have to have both of those people listening, which is huge and enormous, they're both listening. They're both listening live. No one's time shifting. They're both listening live. No one's podcast. And they're both near a phone. They can get to the phone, and they call in, and they get through when most of the lines are busy. I got to figure that there's at least another 500 people who have both sides of the story trying to call who aren't getting through. I believe that that proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that every man, woman, and child of employable age is listening to our show right now. Right now. Every single one of them. What's in the news, Robin? And let's take... I also want to talk... Well, before we get to that, let's do this. You were also fired by Melinda, the First Lady of Magic.
The First Lady of Magic, yes.
And she fired you on Christmas.
On Christmas, yes. I got to work and all of my juggling props were in the hall.
You were just fired like that?
I just like that, yeah. Here's your props. Here's a check for 2 weeks. Have a nice Christmas.
What were you fired for?
It involves a lot of crazy that perhaps we shouldn't bring up. But, you know, Lance and I were...
Shut up for a second.
All right.
I asked you, why were you fired?
Yeah, I know.
Why were you fired, Godot?
I was having lunch with Lance and a stripper.
So you were the... She was married to Lance at the time?
No. This was before they were dating Lance. No, this is before they were dating.
But why were you...
The stripper was also a magician, and somehow Melinda got it into her head that Lance and I were producing a show with this other stripper as a magician and going to take her spot somehow as lady magician in Vegas.
I see. So
it was a long and complex...
How did that lady magician do in Vegas when you produced her?
She's still a stripper. She never became a magician. There was no moment where she was going to become a full-time magician. There was no way we were producing her show.
Is this a stripper that I know?
We were having lunch. Yes, it's the stripper that you know.
Okay, I know two.
You do.
Strippers that do magic.
Well, this is the one with the long silver nails.
Oh, that one.
That one.
Okay.
So you know,
and you were fine. Sure, of course I do. I know many strippers with long silver nails, but the overlap, we finally get it narrowed down. And that's what you were fired for?
Yeah.
Were you happy about it?
No. Okay. No, I was not happy about it. It was Christmas.
You were fired.
I had 2 weeks' notice. It takes 3 months to get a job as a juggler. I mean, I got another job in the worst show ever. This is the funny part was I had been to this terrible show at the Lady Luck, and a friend of mine was
Melinda.
Doing the spot. No, this is before Melinda was at the Lady Luck.
Okay.
I went to this terrible show, and it was the worst show ever. And then a friend of mine came on in the spot, and it was the spot where everyone in the audience went, "This is the worst show ever. I'm going to kill myself. Now who's this jerk?"
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? That's when they introduced him, and 3 weeks later, I found myself in that spot.
Oh, that's great.
That was awful.
You were awful, too?
No. I actually tricked him. I said, can I go on before the show and do about 5 minutes of just a little juggling and comedy to warm up? I'm working on some new material. And they said, yeah, okay, you know, thinking it was some kind of bonus.
Yeah.
So I went out and did my 5 minutes of getting real laughs. And then when they brought me back on, it was still the point where you went, oh, this is the worst show ever. Well, at least this guy's back. I was trying to save my butt.
You between the lines there, you just burned a lot of bridges in Vegas.
Yeah, I did.
You better hope that Lance doesn't fire your ass. Anything bad to say about Lance?
I have nothing bad to say about Lance. Lance is the greatest guy in the world, and he does a fabulous show.
Okay. Let's take this on to Brett. You think Brett's a good one to talk to?
I think Brett.
You want to go with?
No, we're going with Brett. We already hit the button.
Okay, how you doing, Brett?
Hey, good. How you guys doing?
Doing very well, thanks. How are you?
All right. Well, wackiest firing I've ever been a party to. I got fired from one job because there was a change of management. That's boring. So, like, in between, like, the job I have now and that job, I worked at a liquor store for, like, 2 weeks. And I go in there, and the guy whose ass I was kissing so I wouldn't get fired got fired.
Oh, yeah. Always bad.
Which stinks. So the manager below him that I didn't like gets pushed up. So I think he was just looking for any reason to fire me. But here's what they fired me for, okay? They put me on register one day, and I typed the number in wrong because I'm dyslexic. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm dyslexic. And he's like, oh, you're dyslexic? You're fired. Just like that.
I think that if you're running a cash register and say you're dyslexic, it's kind of like saying you're a basketball player and you say, oh, by the way, I have no motor skills.
Yeah, I'm 5'4".
I'm 5'4".
I have no qualifications for this job.
Okay.
Thanks, Brett.
Thanks a lot there, Brett. Let's talk to Tim.
Sure, why
there.
Not?
Hey, Pat.
What's up, Tim?
Hey, how you doing?
Very well, thanks.
I was playing saxophone on a cruise ship in the show band, and the band leader was a bass player, and he had a very little patience.
Be very careful drummer. What you say about bass players. You'll get your ass fired from this show.
No, I actually love the guy, but he had very little patience for the drummers that he worked with.
Well, that's always for good reason.
Right, of course. And, I mean, in 9 months, we must have went through 15 or 16 drummers. And so after two or three rehearsals, we could tell if a guy was going to get an axe, and it was just, just waiting to see what colorful way this guy was going to fire him. So one day we're in rehearsal, and he stops the band and turns around and looks at the drummer. We all know he's getting fired.
Mm-hmm.
And he says to the drummer, you know, not only are you fired, but we need to take it a step further. You need to go home, sell your drums, take the money, buy a dog, and shoot it. And the kid had nothing to do but just walk off the stage, you know.
Now, were you on a ship at the time?
Yeah, it was for a Carnival Cruise Line.
So when you're fired on a ship, what do you do?
Well, if you're fired for just poor job performance, you wait around until that particular cruise is over. But if you get fired for something really bad, then they just knock you off at the next port, and you're responsible for getting home.
So did this kid get to wait out the rest of the cruise?
Yeah, he basically got to sit down in his room and have meals brought to him. It was almost like he was under quarantine. They had guards on him. You know, they thought he was going to get violent or something, I guess.
Wow.
That's so terrific.
Carnival Lines becomes a prison ship of hell. I wonder how many drummers they had down there in the galley. I mean, a whole bunch of drummers.
I could only imagine how many this particular band leader fired over. I think he worked for the company for 8 years. In 9 months, he went through 15, you know.
But didn't he audition drummers before he brought them out on the open seas?
Well, actually, no, because we were all, you know, we were all playing on the show band every night. So, you know, it was just the home office would send us a new, you know, this drummer's gone, send us a new one. You know.
But wait a minute, but you're in the middle of the ocean with people having a blast on the Carnival Cruise Line. They're having a lot of fun, uh-huh. Having a great time. You fire one drummer, stick them down in the prison, and who's playing drums that night?
Well, there were a couple of other bands on the ship, and so what would happen is for the big production shows, they would borrow one of those drummers.
Okay.
Pay them a little bit extra, but you know, there were times when we played dance sets with no drums at all.
That's great.
Yeah,
well, I just love the image of there being, you know, there's these levels on Carnival Cruise. Like you have, like, you know, the VIPs, and you have, you know, ship's captain, and then way down at the bottom, it's failed drummers. There's this little point. Do not go below this point. Nothing but failed drummers. And you can hear this banging on the door, and you can tell it's a failed drummer because the banging on the door is speeding up. That's fabulous.
Man, there's a bass player joke for you.
thanks so much. Yeah. Well, you know, drummers and bass players are responsible for keeping the beat together.
Yes.
So if those two guys don't get along and aren't grooving, it's a very bad thing. But I think for the most part,
if you fired 15 drummers in 9 months, it might be you.
No, not if it's a band. Have you ever tried to find a good drummer?
Never.
It's nearly impossible. It's nearly impossible. You meet very few good drummers. When you meet a good drummer, it's astonishing, you know. But I mean, did you see the movie? What was it called, Monster or something? The movie of the heavy metal band going through therapy and stuff.
I missed it. Oh yeah, I know you're talking about.
Yeah. That drummer, you know, who's very, Lars is his name or something, he's very famous, you know. But watching him record, time is not that important to him. We have no drummer on our show. Do you understand? There's no drummer whatsoever on our show. And if there were a drummer, I now know how to fire him. As a matter of fact, I really want to fire someone.
Can't
Although
wait.
Nobody that works for us really has a tool like a set of drums. But boy, telling somebody, not only are you fired, but you have to go home, take your drum set, sell it, buy a dog, and shoot the dog. That is probably the most perfect piece of poetry I've ever heard in my life. It's just great. It shows the kind
we
of range.
Hire that bass player as our writer.
Yeah. Well, also, a band leader being the bass player is pretty cool.
There aren't
a lot of bands. I mean, the Beatles, I suppose. Although many, I guess John Lennon was the leader of the Beatles. But how many bass players are leaders of bands? I mean, Jack Bruce and Cream? No, that was Eric Clapton. Charles Mingus.
Now you're struggling.
No, Charles Mingus. Charles Mingus is a bass player that led a band.
Okay.
Don't you say you're struggling with Charles Mingus. You know what you're going to do? You're going to take your juggling gloves, go home, take your juggling gloves, sell the juggling gloves, and and there goes, and Jack has just pulled Godot out of the room here. Sell your juggling gloves, buy a dog, and shoot it. So I want to hear so much more about the Melinda and the stripper story. But we have a good time on the air for that. We're wrapping it up. Tomorrow will be Friday. We'll be here again tomorrow. I know what we'll be talking about. We'll be talking about something. Thanks a lot for tuning in. And how cool is it, man, that the fire and the fire-e both called in our show? Man, that really rocks. What's the news, Robin?
Check out Penn Jillette weekdays from 2 to 3 on Free FM.